right?
Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, June 13th, 2014. And with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for having me, man. It's a pleasure to be here.
And it's always awesome to have you. And also awesome to have is Brian Chaffin.
It is awesome to have me.
It is. I think there's websites and fanfic dedicated just to that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's so bad you have to close your windows before you podcast.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. I know how that goes.
Well, they're on the other side of the room.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. I thought we'd start off today talking about Apple's changes that they made to searching on the iTunes store. And yeah, this is Be Sure to Brain.
That's probably a little grandiose.
Well, you know, we're talking about Apple, so grandiose just kind of plays into that. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
So, Brian, tell me about these changes, because I saw the headline of your article, but I have not read it. So, is this in the App Store on my iPhone, or is this in iTunes on my Mac, or both, or what?
So it's in the App Store. Apple essentially added a sort of new landing page, if you want. That allows users to browse by category, but using visual placards instead of just like a pull down menu. So it's in some ways the same old thing that's always been there, because Apple has long had the ability for you to look at apps by category. But sure. Now we have a nice, pretty, again, visual way for folks who are more visual. It's a new way of doing stuff, but it doesn't solve the discoverability issues that Apple has had with the App Store from day one.
All right, and you just answered the question I was going to ask, which is, do you think this finally solves the whole headache of searching on the App Store? And the answer is no.
No.
I'm not convinced Apple is in the right position to solve that, right? Because how do you, and I'll qualify that by asking, how best do you find out what apps you would like? And I mean, they have their editor's choice, and they talked about that, right? I mean, that's coming, and they've had features apps and best new and best this and best that. But that is not tailored for you. Right. This is a very general thing, and it's either one person or one group of people's opinion about, one committee's opinion about what apps should be featured this week. To me, the only way to, there's so many apps now that you can't just highlight, here's what I think is best. I mean, that's great. If you happen to be someone who agrees with the sensibilities of whatever committee or person it is that's doing this, and they're faceless, by the way, that's great. But otherwise, you need to find other people you agree with and find out what they like. And that's why, I think Apple, and I don't think Apple has failed at the social thing in the past. It doesn't mean they always will, but it probably means they won't head down that path. So,
right.
I think third-party services, there was one at Macro, of course, Get Appler, right? Michael Johnston's service that solves this problem really well. Yeah. Yeah. So there's that. And then there was another one that was exhibiting at Macworld, and their name escapes me, which I'm not sure what that means, but they seemed well-funded. But they were attempting to do something similar again, pulling in that social aspect. I don't know what Apple can do to solve that.
Well, one thing Apple could do is not shut down successful third-party services that do solve this for a lot of people. And I'm thinking of those, that South American company. That Apple put the kibosh on about a year ago.
And what did they do?
I think it was part paid recommendations and part refined a larger, perhaps, committee or a different committee. But they had millions and millions of users, and everyone seemed to the people that were using them seemed to like what they were doing. But Apple pulled them from the App Store because It violated the section of the review guidelines that say that you can't duplicate the ability to find stuff.
Oh, sure. It just clicked. I remember that now. Yeah, they had the whole app, and it actually worked surprisingly well.
Yeah, so Apple's
but they didn't need to shut down, right? They could have just relaunched it as a web service like GetAppler, right? There's no reason that they had to just tuck their tail and walk away.
I agree. At least based on what I know, I agree. They could have even gone so far as to build a web app thing and give you the little pop-up
exactly.
at the site that says, tap here and add me to your home screen.
Yeah.
True, but being in the App Store in the first place, there is a difference between being in the App Store and being out in the wild, wild world of the internets.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I always use my mom as my litmus test for technology. She would never think to actually do a Google search to try and find
sure.
something like this. But she'll go to the App Store.
Now we have a meta discoverability problem because we have services out there that solve the discoverability problem, but you have to discover them first. And so Apple is thwarting the efforts of people to discover those. So there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah. Okay. Another topic that I wanted to take a look at today was another piece that you wrote, Brian.
Yay, me.
Yeah, go you. So first, thanks for writing cool stuff because that gives us things to talk about. So this piece that you wrote yesterday about Tony Fadell working on the Nest thermostat and saying that he wished he could have shown it to Steve Jobs was really interesting.
Yeah, so I mean, I didn't do much other than notice that that's what the Fortune had written that. So the real piece was written by Fortune. It was an in-depth profile of Tony Fadell and, to a lesser extent, Nest itself. And they were looking at Tony's career and what he did before Apple, what he did while he was at Apple. He had a couple of anecdotes about. Fighting all the time. He denied that Steve fired him a couple of times and instead said that he quit a couple of times because that was pretty much the only way to stand up for himself at times. He talked about how Steve would be annoyed at him because he asked too many questions, but at the same time he would get annoyed because Steve himself would ask him too many questions. So there are a lot of little interesting anecdotes about that. And then it closed with this other anecdote about how he wished that he could have shown, or he would have loved to show Steve Jobs the Nest thermostat. But though they talked and though Steve kept checking in with him on the progress of his stealth startup, by the time he was ready to actually show the thermostat, Steve had gotten sick, and so he wasn't able to do so. Steve had gotten really sick and was going to die soon. So they weren't able to do that. And that was the subject of my cool stuff found. But I think anyone who wants to understand Nest and understand why Apple didn't buy Nest should go and read the piece. Go read the full piece over at Fortune.
Yeah, I found the cool stuff found that you wrote to be cool. Hence, it's a cool stuff found. But it's when you started talking about how this actually shed some light on why Apple wouldn't have bought Nest. That's when it became actually really intriguing to me.
Well, so Tony is. Tony's a top guy, and Apple, generally speaking, only has room for one top guy at a time, as Scott Forstall knows, and as Tony knew before Scott did, and that was part of it. But one of the things he said to me, one of the things he said to Fortune is that there were things that he wanted to copy about Apple's culture, but there were also things that he didn't want to copy about Apple's culture. And the thing that he didn't want to copy was Apple's siloed nature, where everything is siloed into its own compartment. And he very, very much didn't want to take that direction. And if that's the case, if that's how he built Nest, then Nest would not have made a good fit within Apple. And at the same time, Google bought Nest, and Google has left Nest to be pretty much its own thing. Though Nest has grown, Tony Fadell says he spends one day a week at Google getting to know people and trying to figure out how Google can help Nest and then how he fits into Google too. I mean, that's not, generally speaking, the way Apple buys companies, Beats notwithstanding.
And right.
It painted a picture that I couldn't see Tony wanting to fit back into Apple again, and I didn't necessarily see Tim Cook wanting Tony to do so.
That makes sense. Yeah, because as you pointed out, you know, Beats, and it remains to be seen how that's going to work, right? Mm-hmm, you know, because it's new. They may well absorb them into the Apple culture very, very quickly. The only other company, and I might be missing one, that I can think of that Apple owns but yet lets operate kind of on its own is FileMaker.
Yeah, and that right. To me always kind of seemed more like a de facto, I can't figure out how I want to say this. It's like it's an exception because they somehow made it work, and so I guess we're just not going to mess with you today.
Today, right. Today. Yeah, exactly.
Tomorrow,
yeah.
Maybe.
But tomorrow, yeah, exactly. No, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, well, and Apple does put certain restrictions on things that FileMaker as a company can do. And
of course.
Yeah, and imposes some of their own philosophies on the company. But yeah, by and large, FileMaker gets to run just as its own thing.
Yep.
Which is so very not Apple.
And the yeah. The Google purchase came about relatively quickly. They were apparently Nest was going back to the VC community looking for some more money, and someone was going to invest in them with the valuation at $3 billion. And apparently, Google at that point said, "Well, why don't we just buy you?"
Fascinating.
And so it happened relatively quickly. You remember? I remember that piece I wrote about how. The Nest purchase may have been defensive in nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that aspect of how quickly it happened gave my own idea a little more credibility.
Yeah,
to me.
Yeah,
because it's all about to you. Me.
It is all about you.
Yeah.
It is. Yes, and the window on the other side of the room.
Yeah.
Right. So all right. Well. Thanks both of you for joining me today on this Friday the 13th, which I'm sure is going to be a wonderfully lucky day for everyone.
Indeed.
It has been so far. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Sure thing. And yeah, thanks again for coming on. And have a great weekend.
You too.